Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop. We also welcome to the programme Frank Leboeuf and Julien Veron as we kick things off with a PFA shortlist for the Player of the Year. Remember, this is the award that is voted for by all the players in the Premier League. It is a shortlist of 6, Virgil van Dijk, Harry Kane, Mane, Ronaldo, Salah and De Bruyne. We asked the boys who they would have voted for. Myself, Frank and Ali made the correct decision. Going for Kevin De Bruyne. Shaq has gone for Mo Salah. Jules, of course, hasn't even got someone who's on the shortlist.
That's Jules, a problem.
Oh, yeah. Jules, we've got to start with you. Why Son?
I think it's a disgrace that he's not amongst the nominees. I don't even understand how your Golden Boot player of the season, the guy who doesn't take penalties and yet still scores the most goal in your league, the guy that has carried the team pretty much all season, certainly the first half of the season when Harry Kane was rubbish, into the top four, a player who keeps scoring against the best team in the country or assisting City, Liverpool, for example, Arsenal. He's not in that list. It's crazy. So just for that, I would have voted for him if he'd been in the list, but now that he's not in the list, I want to vote for him even more.
You're doubling down on him. Frank, why did you not vote for Son?
Well, because he was simply not in the list, and I really carefully listened to what people asked me to do and stick to it, you know. But he could have been in the list. But really, I think De Bruyne is such a special player. I tried, you know, to find Van Dijk. For me, was out of the business because I don't think this season he's been as outstanding that he used to do what he was last season, the season before. But the strikers, I had hesitation on all of them. They say, well, okay, that guy is fine, but he was clumsy at some point. He was injured at some other time. Kevin De Bruyne, I like the guy. I mean, something special comes out every game that he plays. And I think he should be awarded for that.
Why Salah?
I felt, given his goals and given Liverpool's own successes. By the way, I'm with Jules. I don't know how Harry Kane gets in ahead of Heung-min Son. But I, like Frank, thought, well, I had to choose from this list.
Oh, don't give me that rubbish. So if someone was in the list, you would have voted for him?
I would have given it some thought.
No, you
wouldn't. I'm just saying I would have given it some thought.
Don't go off on that.
I'm just saying that
rubbish.
I didn't have to give it any thought, but I would have given it some thought.
I'm giving you a chance to have thought now.
Well, it's too late. No,
it's not too late. You can have it.
It's too late. I've already cast my vote for myself without thought. But given his goals, but second in the Golden Boot race to Heung-min Son, who would have given some thought. And then given Liverpool's successes, just a point behind Manchester City, I felt of between him and it came down to him and De Bruyne, I just thought his contributions to Liverpool were more deserving.
Did he not just run out of steam a little bit at the end? Would that not be like, if you're going to say one negative of Salah's season, it was that when you really needed him to step up?
Well, give it some thought.
I'll give that some thought. But in all fairness, as much as they only finished a point behind, they were always trailing City, and in the end, it finished closer than maybe many thought. So while you could say Salah ran out of some steam, I don't think that's really how it played out.
Just. The reason as to why Harry Kane is on the list because you need English representation.
Oh, that. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I right. was
that simple as that.
Ali. Ali, if Son was on the list, would you have voted for him?
No.
Right.
No,
thank you.
I ponder. No. Kevin De Bruyne.
Because?
Best player.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. And to your point, yes. In the end, Kevin De Bruyne's game took off. Whereas Mohamed Salah, fairly or unfairly, his game faded just a bit. And just enough for a point difference between the two, Kevin De Bruyne.
Just a reminder, Extra Time, as always, is available over on our YouTube channel. Jules and Frank will be staying late to answer your tweets, along with Shaka and Ali. Be sure to check that out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The US men were in action on Wednesday night, and they would beat Morocco comfortably by 3-0. Christian Pulisic, very much the star of the show. A nice assist, great touch to set up Brendan Aaronson, and then winning the penalty as well in the second half. But the game was far from full capacity, and it's what Christian Pulisic had to say about that after the match, which has hit the headlines.
It's been a couple months since you were back in front of these U.S. fans. How'd it feel tonight?
Yeah, it was nice. To be honest, for whatever reason, I'm not super happy with the amount of Americans here, however that works out, if I'm being completely honest. It's thanks to the ones who did come, and the support is always great from them. It's nice to be back in America and playing again.
Now that obviously has caused quite a reaction. Casey Keller here to give us his in a moment. But first, let's hear from Seven Herc and Taylor and John.
So what, Taylor, do you suppose was the motivation for those comments?
The motivation is when Morocco came out, he and every other U.S. player heard the roar that was in the stands. The other motivation is it wasn't sold out.
It was the ninth time that the U.S. men had played in the state of Ohio in the last 5 and a bit years.
When you charge an arm and a leg, because the prices are high, to go to these games in the places that are consistently getting games, you get an environment like tonight.
Christian Pulisic calling out the fans, Herc. What do you think?
I think he's a little confused. I think he meant the amount of U.S. men's national team fans. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of Americans in those stands.
Who support Morocco, right.
Right, yeah. Whether they support Morocco or not. I don't know if picking fights with the fan base is the best
idea.
Do you
think that's picking fight with the fan base, or you think that's being honest in, 30 seconds after a match?
It could be in the heat of the moment, but yeah. Still, it's a dig at the fan base because you're saying they don't support you.
I'm not sure Herc's right there, is he, Casey? Is he having a dig at the fan base, or is he having a dig at the organization, considering how much these tickets are?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a combination. I mean, simply because, yes, it's been an issue for years that the prices for the friendlies have been an issue, because you're getting a more educated fan base that recognizes the difference between several months ago when you had a World Cup qualifier in the same stadium against Mexico, and then you have a friendly against Morocco 5-6 months before a World Cup. So yes, it's different. It's on a Wednesday. It's expensive for a family to go to the game. But then it's also an issue that, us as players have had for years, is the U.S. can host 100 different countries, and the U.S. national team in certain cities will be the away team. And look, it is what it is in this country. It's part of it. You come to accept it. You don't necessarily like it, because, Dan, you tell me the last time you went to Wembley and you saw England as the away team. It just doesn't happen that often.
You think $70 was the cheapest tickets, mm-hmm. boys. And it's midweek, and if you're taking your family, I get it. I completely get it.
Yeah, and when I heard the statements from Christian Pulisic, my first reaction is, gutsy, interesting, in that if we're going to think of Christian Pulisic as the face of the U.S. national team and the flag bearer for this team, then you're going to be the face in all sorts of different directions, not only on the field, but off the field and taking on these sort of subjects. Now, this is a nuanced conversation. It's a slippery slope. because it is open for interpretation as to what he was referring to. Was it the fans? Was it the organization? You just asked the question, and it could go in all sorts of different directions. So the only thing that I would say to Christian Pulisic is this. I don't mind the fact that he comes out and says this, but if you're going to have a conversation about this, then make it more than a 30-second soundbite. In the press conference post-game, explain yourself and actually tell us wholeheartedly what is it that you're feeling, why are you feeling this way, and fully explain your position. That way, this is not left for interpretation, and that way we're not asking the question, is it about the fans, is it about the organization? Regardless, if you're Christian Pulisic and any member of that national team, you want the stadium packed cheering for you. You think you deserve that much, and you want to expect that from your fans, and therefore you're going to go down this path of asking fans to be out on the field. The slippery slope is when you start telling people as to how they should be spending their money. And that's the part that people are not going to quite understand, and it could go down the very dark and very deep conversation of, oh, because you play in the Premier League, you're going to tell me how to spend my money because you think that everybody's got it like you have it. That's why I'm thinking that it would be a better idea for Christian Pulisic to come out and actually have this conversation, put it out in the open, but in a manner in which he could explain himself rather than just a 30-second soundbite.
I think Pulisic is echoing the sentiments of a lot of soccer fans here in the US. And Ali's absolutely right. The comment that he made is a dig at the US fan base. But without that follow-up comment or question, the context has to be, the question has to be asked of US soccer. What are you doing so that we aren't seen as the away team? Because when other countries come to the U.S. just because of the diversity here in the U.S., this is the only opportunity that people of Moroccan descent are going to get to see Morocco. So they are going to travel the country over to come to that game. Cincinnati, people in Ohio know that they are, on average, I think John said, twice a year, mm-hmm. the national team is playing in Ohio. So there isn't that urgency. And given the state of the economy right now, there's no real surprise that people are being far more careful about where every single dollar goes. But this is a long and ongoing conversation around U.S. soccer that I do not think the U.S. Soccer Federation has done a very good job of addressing. The ticket price is in today's market is one of those. How do you pick and choose venues, days of the week, and prices so that U.S. soccer is better supported?
How do you fix this, Casey?
Well, I think it has to be a lot of conversations around, but it's conversations that I know that Klinsmann had with U.S. soccer at one stage, because I remember there was a friendly in New York against, or Boston, I can't remember exactly, somewhere on the East Coast against Brazil, and it was on a random night, and there wasn't a lot of fans there. And I think for that night, the cheapest ticket was somewhere around like $125 or something like that. And there wasn't a big crowd, and I think the question mark around it was, why for this game is it not cheaper? Sell it out, get people interested in the game, maybe want to come back to a game that actually means something. And I think that's been a long-going conversation. But U.S. soccer has its financial model and the way it wants to work, and it will do that accordingly. And until they get situations where they're not making money, I don't see where they're going to change. But, I mean, we can all question it. We can all wonder why. The players can question it. Obviously, coaching staff and everybody around will wonder why there's not a sold out pro American crowd for a friendly on a Wednesday night. But I think the guys pretty much gave the answers why there wasn't a crowd. I mean, Shaka makes a good point. The Moroccans, I'm sure, traveled from all over the country to get that one opportunity they're going to have to see their country before a World Cup where, you know, Ohio has been blessed with a lot of national team games and some very, very big games that actually meant something in recent history.
But we know how popular soccer is with the young generation. We've all got kids who have kind of grown up in this club system. Surely if you've got 7,000, 8,000 empty seats. So you know it's going to be. Surely you hit those kids.
Absolutely.
And that's the way to go.
And listen, I do not know what U.S. soccer are doing in terms of their youth outreach with local youth clubs, even with MLS clubs. Do you offer some kind of a rebate or discount to season ticket holders, to Cincinnati FC? I don't know. Those are things that you can look at. But from a parent's perspective, and on top of all that, and we talk about youth soccer, and we hear all the time about how much money U.S. soccer has, thanks in large part to the pay-for-play model that they have with youth soccer, thanks to the U.S. hosting the Gold Cups, etc. But me as a parent, club soccer, certainly for my kids, is somewhere up in the region of $2,500 a year. Mm-hmm. This is not inclusive of uniforms, travel.
That's ground level.
That's just to show up. Yeah. That's not counting cleats, socks.
That's a car without a radio.
Exactly. You then have
and
to.
A row of windows.
You also have to pay for your kids to travel and pay for the hotel. And then you add in. So if I want to go with my son, I'm leaving everybody else in my family home. That's already $150, $200 on top of what I'm already putting into U.S. soccer coffers. And that's a lot of money to spend for the average family. So what partnerships, how can you cater to this young fan base who are already spending way over the odds to come and see some of their own heroes in the flesh, in person? I'm not sure that I don't know, but I would like to hear what U.S. soccer are doing in terms of addressing that.
And how else do you create that connection with your heroes? By going to the stadium.
Yeah.
That's how you create the connection. That is the memory, right? I was there to watch Christian Pulisic. And it isn't just watching Christian Pulisic on TV with Chelsea. No, it's right here. He's right here. I can reach him. I can touch him. He's there. He came to my city. He came to my stadium. And now, U.S. soccer would know, as any organization that is putting on a game, they know well ahead of the match, well, what are the ticket sales so far? What's going on? Where is this moving? They know if the game is moving enough tickets or not. So if it's coming down to the last week or so and you know that you're struggling, you know you're going to be short, man, you grab those tickets and, yes, you go and outreach to those teams that you're talking about, local youth teams, and say, come to the game. Generate this connection. Because this connection that you're making now with that kid who sees Christian Pulisic and whoever else they come to watch, that is a connection that is going to last for a lifetime. So the $75 that you may be giving away in that ticket, it is something that you're investing into the future of your sport in this country, because that connection will not go away. We all have connections that we made as kids and going and watching somebody play. And those connections last a lifetime. And that's a love for the game that lasts a lifetime. For a ticket that you can give out for free.
Well, those who actually had a ticket and went to the game saw a good performance overall from the U.S., Casey.
Yeah, I think that's the frustrating thing, is we're now talking about something that isn't involving in the way that the team played, particularly in the first half. And I was very excited with how dynamic the team looked in the attack. They created lots of good chances early in that game and really put Morocco on the back foot, you know, very early. And it was really good to see. Now, yes, there was a couple, I think, issues where Morocco got back at the U.S. on the counterattack, where the balance has to be worked at. But let's take nothing away from the performance. And I think that's what's difficult, particularly when there's so few games before the World Cup starts that Greg has to kind of look at that squad, to see who some key players can be, to be added late into the equation to really help this team. And it was. It was a great start to this four-game summer series.
Yeah, Pulisic, once again, head and shoulders above everyone else on the pitch. He looks superb in this game. This is what Greg Berhalter had to say about U.S.'s star man.
Christian's first touch is pretty special. The one right before the first goal off the pass over the top, and just his ability to show that much poise inside the box in that moment and then drawing the penalty later.
You know, that's what separates, really good players from great players. The ability to take the touch, control the ball at high speed. And, you know, you see when he touches the ball, it's right at his foot. The ability of players to control the ball at high speed and change direction at high speed with the ball is what really separates players at the next level. And Christian definitely has that. And it was, I think he had an excellent performance and plays like that where he gets out for the penalty and plays like the assist, you know, really separate him from the pack.
Well, this is what Pulisic had to say on that first touch. I guess for you guys it might not be easy, but it's what I've been doing since I've been training for this my whole life. It's a touch I expect myself to make, but yeah, maybe not for everyone. Casey, you could, of course, have that touch with your eyes closed. No problem whatsoever.
What?
Hey, but this is kind of what you want to see from a US captain, isn't it?
With my hands.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But this is what you want. You want this kind of level of play, this level of quality, and what you need to see is consistently now throughout these matches from him.
Well, exactly. I mean, you expect, and rightfully so, that Christian Pulisic should be the leader, not just off the field as the captain, but on the field through performances, because we know the ability he has. And he really showed it last night. Now, he's got some very good players around him, which is key for every good player. But he is the standard bearer. I mean, I saw that early when he first started coming into the national team, that there was something really, really special about him. And he showed last night, you know, that rare ability of being able to do exactly what Greg said, under pressure, have the touch that separates you, that makes you something above the normal player. And he's only going to make other players around him better. You saw a very good performance from Aronson. You know, Timothy Weah had his moments where he looked like he can be a danger out on that right wing. So yeah, there's a lot of compliments around him. But when he sets the standard, it makes everybody better.
It most certainly does. Of course, the U.S. will have a keen eye on what happens on Sunday as Ukraine take on Wales for that final spot in the World Cup. They'll, of course, be in Group B alongside England, Iran and the U.S. Who do you want, Casey?
Obviously, the story around Ukraine is something special. So it's so hard to root against Ukraine. I think somebody said it yesterday, you know, it might have been Craig, that basically the only people rooting for Wales, you have to be Welsh, because everybody around the world is just absolutely enthralled with this idea of Ukraine against all the odds being able to qualify for the World Cup. I think actually when you look at both sides, they both have their strengths. They both have their weaknesses. I don't think either side is necessarily a team that the U.S. is going to be fearful of. They're both, you know, good teams on their day that can definitely beat the U.S. But it's not like you've got a team that significantly underachieved and then sneaks their way into the World Cup through that playoff. It's teams that you expect to be in those situations. And like I said, it's tough to root against Ukraine right now.
Casey Keller, as always, thank you very much for your thoughts. By the way, the special Football America's dropped yesterday after that win for the U.S. You can check that out over here on ESPN+. That was a really big logo that Herc had, didn't it? The U.S. crest. Or Herc shrunk. One of the two.
He's been really angry lately.
Has he?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, working with Seb.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Brazil were in action on Thursday. They beat South Korea by 5-1. Neymar with 2 penalties within that game, which puts him now just 4 goals off becoming the all-time top goal scorer for the Brazilian national team. Of course, a record that is held by Pelé with 77. Meanwhile, Neymar's on another list as well. Oh, dear. The PSG 14 that was revealed by Mundo Deportivo, saying these are the 14 people at PSG that Mbappe wants out, which includes Neymar, includes Pochettino. However, we saw the response from Mbappe on Twitter saying fake red cross. Jules, the problem is this is going to keep happening, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, that's right. Even more when you're in when the transfer window is open compared to maybe, you know, during the season when you can't make any transfer, but suddenly every summer and every winter you're going to get this, okay, who's on Kylian's list now? Who does he want in? Who does he want out? We knew, for example, that he wanted Tchouaméni in badly, that they've missed out on him, of course. But we also knew that it's not so much who he wants out. This is not the idea. He doesn't want anyone out in the pure sense of the word. He wants the squad to be strengthened in certain position. And of course, if you bring a Tchouaméni, for example, that you don't need Ander Herrera still at the club. You don't need Danilo Pereira, etc., etc. So this is more the idea. But yeah, I'm not sure where the Mundo Deportivo got this. This crazy list that there was a black list with 14 names on it. But yeah, it was good for him, I guess, to deny it on social media. But you get the idea still that there's some players clearly who the club is looking to sell. And I think, you know, Kylian would be still happy to see them out.
Frank, it's crazy. It could be in a football locker room. It could be in a TV studio, any industry. Surely where you have an employee with this much power, it can only be toxic, can't it?
You know what? I'm fed up with that. You know, I'm very upset with Mundo Deportivo. I thought it was a Catalan newspaper. I thought it would support Mbappe than anything else. So it was created in Barcelona. So I thought it would be backing up, you know, Kylian Mbappe. But, you know, yes, of course, in that world, everybody's going to talk about everything. But can we have a little bit of truthness? Fair play. I don't know what kind of thing you want to say. You know, maybe they can take care of Shaka Power's ranking. You know, maybe we have to we have more talking about that than anything else. But really, when I saw that, when you sent me that, I said, how possible people can believe in that? If you know a little bit of football, you know that's impossible to see that being true. So yes, I'm very sad in a way of thinking that we have to give a little bit of importance to a bad newspaper because they are not serious people. Football can be serious. Yeah, it's fun, but it's also a serious matter. It's not because Mbappe denied going to or didn't want to go to Real Madrid that you have to get out or to find something, well, maybe funny, maybe annoying, to put in your newspaper. That's really appalling, very much appalling.
You know who wields the power here, right, Shaka? I don't want to scare you or anything, but...
I wield no power. I have no power here, no power at home, I have power anywhere in my life.
Just saying.
Give me that.
Hey, you check that list, please.
FC 14.
I don't know if he makes lists. It's more of a guy that doodles.
Like, Frank is very much the voice of reason in this, saying, look, of course, Mbappe's not going to give him a list and they're going to get rid of all of them. As a player, can you accept that within that locker room?
Before Ali answers, let me just see. You know something is very wrong when Frank is the voice of reason.
Oh, I know. I like it when Frank's anti-Mundo Deportivo.
We've all had it.
But can you accept it as a player?
I didn't even know they were existing. So.
Accept what as a player?
Accept that all of this is noise and it isn't real.
I think players know that. And I think we knew that this was going to happen this summer. From the time Mbappe decided to stay, from the time he even suggested that he was willing to talk about the project with PSG, all the assumption would be that Kylian Mbappe is going to make every single decision as regards the football.
He didn't like Leonardo. He's gone. Pochettino looks like he's going.
Which is fine. I think Pochettino is going whether Mbappe stayed or not. But that's just the world that we've now shaped around Kylian Mbappe. And I think incorrectly. I don't think he wants that power. I don't think he seeks that power. As a star player in a club, of course, there are players you want to see come in, you'd love to have at the club, but that's not your job. And I think one thing players have always been very good at doing is knowing right where to draw the line. And Kylian Mbappe impresses me as an intelligent young man. I am sure he knows where to draw the line. That doesn't stop other people speculating wildly.
When the public perception is that the keys have been handed to Kylian Mbappe, here you go, Kylian. You're the guy. You're the man. Everybody else, not nearly as important as you. That's a perception from the outside looking in. Then obviously, clearly, these reports are going to begin to come out.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to then make this list and say, well, Ander Herrera is out. Well, okay. Was anybody losing sleep over the fact that Ander Herrera was staying with PSG or going somewhere else? No. But it's easy to sell news like this simply because there is an infatuation with Mbappe. How the decision came about, how he came to his decision, the fact that he utilized Real Madrid to put himself in a better position with PSG, to negotiate a better situation with PSG. All those things add value to a story that then people are just going to use for their advantage. And if that means we're going to hang out Ander Herrera's name out there, so be it. Mm-hmm. He is fair play. Frank was just talking about fair play. When it comes to newspapers, really, they're looking for one thing and one thing only, and that is having a story that is interesting. And this is interesting enough for us to be talking about. So in the end, Mundo Deportivo wins.
Oh, no. We're just a pawn in Mundo Deportivo's
yes!
game.
Yes, we are.
Damn us.
Yes, we are.
Damn us.
Yes, we are.
Kylian Mbappe, of course, not going to Real Madrid. You may have heard that news. However, Rudiger is officially now a Real Madrid player. Frank, from a Chelsea perspective, how disappointed are you to lose him? And how good an acquisition is this for Madrid?
It's very bad news for the Blues, and I'm very sad seeing him leaving the club. But I completely understand that he wants to fulfill his dream, and it's only fair to see him going to Real Madrid, who desperately, for me, needs somebody with his talent to be alongside where there's going to be a Militao or Alaba. I think it's going to be more Alaba, but it's a real plus for Real Madrid. They're going to be more stabilized, I think, at the back, and it's been a problem lately for them, even if they showed during the Champions League final that they were stronger in that matter. But it's a great signing for Real Madrid, for sure, and I want to wish him good luck because he's a very good person.
Oh, even though he's gone to Real Madrid, who you ate. Ali, looking at it, does Alaba go right back, Militao, Rudiger? Is it that simple?
Well, see, I think Militao has been very good for Real Madrid this season. So I don't know that automatically Rudiger takes his position. There's a scenario here where perhaps Alaba goes out to the left-hand side, right, yeah, and Rudiger and Militao play together. Now, I can also make the argument that Militao was as good as he was this season because he had the common influence and the brains of Alaba next to him. If Alaba goes out to the left-hand side, do you then lose that between Militao and Rudiger, who have a similar profile in terms of the style of play? You need one guy to be the runner and the guy who can be physical, and then the other guy who's more of a positional guy. Alaba seems to be the positional guy. Militao seems to be the guy who's willing to do the physical part. Rudiger is also kind of the physical part as well. This is a good problem to have if you're Carlo Ancelotti, because now you have options that you didn't have before. You don't have to go into and go deep and delve into the Nacho option. It's like, Jesus Vallejo option, or whatever other option you had down there that you weren't so comfortable with. Now you have real answers. And I think this is, as Frank just said, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, this is a really good signing for Real Madrid.
That signing then done. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest speculation and rumors as to who could be going where. We check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I wanted to start the show with this today, Shane.
Oh.
Oh, there it is, in all its glory. The ultimate, the last power rankings of the season.
This is the entire summer.
Take us through it, Shaq.
You, no questions about Real Madrid, why they're there. City, Liverpool, just a point behind City. Two cups they're in. PSG ahead of Bayern Munich. Though PSG got knocked out early in the Champions League, Bayern got knocked out by Villarreal, so that cost them. Ajax in Porto, wow. Milan, and then the Europa League and Europa Conference League winners are in. Shaq. There can be no question.
Well, there is some question.
None.
What? Milan wins the title in Serie A, and they lose three spots?
Why are Milan below Ajax and Porto?
They lose three spots because last week was I gave them a boost because that was when they won it. But this is the final summer.
Why are they below Porto and Ajax?
They are below Porto because they played in the same group stage in the Champions League, and Milan finished below Porto in the group stage.
Right.
So Porto are ahead of them.
Okay.
Wow.
And Ajax?
Ajax got deeper than a whole lot deeper than Milan. Ajax got the three knockout stages.
Right.
So I don't understand what's he.
But this is. Why but is this is based. This is months ago, and now you told me that you made a decision happened last week.
This is the final. So
these are the 10 best teams in the world.
Well, if you don't count teams from Trinidad and Tobago, they are.
So Real Madrid are the best team in the world.
Yes.
I heard someone say if it was a boxing match. Jules, what do you make of this mess?
He loves it.
I mean, I'm glad it's the last one of the season, and then we won't do another one until August, mid-August probably.
Yeah.
If we renew them for next season,
wow. You know,
contractually, I'm not sure.
He's going to go Mbappe.
I mean,
Jules is going all Mbappe.
On blacklist, to be fair. And as much as I love PSG, of course, for their worst season in 10 years, that they're fourth, it's just completely baffling. But again, the consistency through the power rankings, through the season, has been baffling, to say the least.
That's
so
it.
Well done, Shaka, because it's not an easy job.
I'm not putting PSG in it ever again. Putting PSG in again.
Frank,
I'm done.
Frank, what do you make of the top 10?
I remember the last one, I said that Shaka was a master of perfection. Well, I think he fell off dramatically from his stage, you know, to almost nowhere. I texted the producer of that show asking if something happened to Paris Saint-Germain for the last week. And he said, no. I said, and what about Bayern Munich? He said, no. I said, how come Frankfurt, who just won the European, the Europa League, Roma, who won the European League, Cup, sorry, are not ahead of Paris Saint-Germain, as Jules said, at a dramatic season, European-wise? I don't get it. I don't get it. Shaka, what happened to you?
Wow.
You need holidays. You really need holidays.
I expected a criticism from Jules, but from Frank, that cut deep.
No, Frank, do you agree that Real Madrid
Deportivo
should...
Deportivo annoyed me, so
Frank,
I'm very upset right now.
Do you agree that Real Madrid should be number one?
Yeah. They won the Champions League. That I can understand. I can understand Xhaka is blinded by the love of the Champions League and the fact that if you win the Champions League, they're the best team in the world, which I don't think so, but I can accept that. I can accept that.
Shaka, what happens to the algorithm now for the summer? Do you put it away? Do you tinker? Do you tinker?
Is there a 2.0 version? Even the algorithm needs a good rest.
Are there some updates coming to the algorithm?
Well, you'll have to watch this.
Don, of course, is a big, big supporter of the power rankings. He's disappointed he can't be here. However, he did fill in for the Gav and Jules podcast. Be sure to...
Gav looked like he just come back from a jog.
Be sure to check that out over on the website.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nations League action on Thursday saw Spain play out a 1-1 draw against Portugal. Thoroughly entertaining match. Alvaro Morata would open the scoring for Spain. Horta getting the equaliser late on for Portugal. Jordi Alba had a big chance as well, who couldn't convert it. So in the end, the spoils shared. Elsewhere in the group, Czech Republic with a 2-1 victory over Switzerland. But Spain are looking good, aren't they? When we're starting to talk about World Cup and their chances in November, they currently sit fourth favourites behind France, England, and it's Brazil, who are favourites at 9-2. Interesting enough, though, you look at it, Argentina at 9-1, Germany at 11, Belgium, Portugal, and then the Dutch all at 12-1. Jules, what strikes you when you look at these odds?
Well, I think it's quite similar to before the Euros. You know, I mean, England, yeah, I think when you finish, you know, when you reach the semi-final and the final of a World Cup and the Euros back-to-back, you have to be amongst the favourite. Of course, I think Brazil are always there. France at the World Cup holders, so they have to be there. I think Spain, again, like before the Euros, were a bit under the radar. It's more surprising maybe for Argentina, considering the incredible run they've had under Scaloni, the Copa America win, I guess this game against Italy as well yesterday. But Spain, surely, I mean, we saw again today the good things, and certainly the likes of Gavi and the transition forward for the first goal, for example, but also what they still need to work on, in the sense that when they had the ball and the lot of possession and Portugal were quite deep, then they still struggled a little bit to create enough compared to how much they had the ball. And then defensively, they switched off a little bit and there was a lot of players missing defensively as well, of course, and they conceded that goal. But they could have conceded before. Rafael Leao could easily have had two goals tonight for Portugal as well. So very interesting game, I think, with a lot of things to take up from the two managers, to be fair, Fernando Santos and Luis Enrique. I think a lot of positive, but also a lot of things to work on for both of them.
Frank, what were you shouting, England? You feel England should be outright favourites for this tournament?
No, I really think that I want to give a chance to England, but really we have to be fair. We all know that the bookies come from England, so maybe they have some advantages that they want to give to their favorite almighty team. But to not see Argentina being in ahead of England really amazes me, because with the result, and Jules mentioned that, they they deserve to be at least second. Even in front of France, I would have no issues about that, because Argentina got two good results lately, so they deserve to be in front of mostly everybody.
How would you have it, Ali?
England would be further down in the list. France would be higher. Argentina would be higher than both England and Spain. And Brazil stays on top. They just continue to show so many options in the attack that at their very best, they can be scary talented in the final third.
Argentina, for me, I think going into this tournament, given what we've seen from them, Copa America, and how they continue, as Jules was pointing out, how are they at 9-1?
You know, because what's going to happen, Shaka? What happens if Argentina win the World Cup?
I'm not going to show up, Dan.
What?
Imagine it. I'm going to take a well-deserved break.
Are you going to take a break with the algorithm?
Me and the algorithm?
You're going to need an update?
Have a little break, yes, we are.
That just messy goat would just... Your phone would explode.
Would
he be... No, let's not do it. Let's do that on a quieter day, shall we? For more of this nonsense, you be sure to check out our videos, which are over on our YouTube page. Don't forget to subscribe to ESPN FC. Kay's back tomorrow. Stevie and Ali as well. Steve's talking boxing matches again. He's taking it well. He's like, I went to get gas today, and the guy goes, Stevie wasn't happy, was he?
Really bitter, really angry about all of this.
Which I wish Stevie was here, considering the prices of gas at the moment make him even angrier. Oh, we're bombed. Bye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop with us today. Frank LaBeouf and Julien Laurent join us as well. Jules, when do you go on holiday? That must be soon, surely.
I've just come back today.
Oh, where did you go?
Paris for the kids. It was lovely.
Where did
we
you go?
We went to Paris.
Ah. Yeah,
which is
very
not
nice.
Not very original, I know, but...
And what are you doing, Frank? What's your holiday destination for the summer?
Me? I'm coming to visit you beginning of July.
I'm not here. I'm
then
in
I'm
England.
Going to. But good. I didn't want to see you. I wanted to see Shaka and Ali.
They're busy.
Then I'm going to Los Angeles to visit my best friend. Then I'm going to Miami where I meet my wife. Then we go to Antigua and Barbuda for 15 days.
Oh,
you're going to take time.
Wow. Take that, Jules.
Yeah, you went to Paris. You're 3 days in Paris.
Wow, that's a holiday.
Hey, that's a different budget right there.
Shaka, we know you've always got your eye on a break on a holiday. What's in the history?
Nobody plans a holiday like Shaka does.
I may be planning a family vacation to the United Kingdom.
Whoa, nice.
When are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there June 27th, I think I go.
For how long?
Like a week, not long. Rental cars are very expensive.
Okay. Now, I'm kind of thinking early, well, not that Frank says he's coming over. I'm thinking early July.
Early July? Yeah, I think that's probably worth it.
Thank you.
don't worry, Frank, I'll be here.
The Moreno household?
Thank you.
What are you up to?
Late July.
Okay.
Disney vacation.
Yes. Company man. Yeah. I'm filling as we're trying to get the questions, but you can just shut them. There we go. Thank you very much. Here we go. Shaka. Ziyech has been in a conflict with his national team coach. How did you resolve your issues with the national team and return?
Oh, well, the coach that took over was a guy called Bertil Sinclair, who named me in my first junior national team.
Okay.
I had huge respect for.
Right.
Right, several years later, so despite my disagreement, shall we call it, with Jack Warner, Bertil Sinclair was named head coach. He called me and asked me to come back, and only because it was Bertil I went back to him.
Are you pleased that you did?
I am.
Is that it? There's nothing else?
He asked a question, I answered it.
Okay.
I'm pleased.
Can you sum up the conflict in a nutshell? Was it quite a complicated conflict?
It's complicated.
Yes, I thought it was. I seem to remember you telling me and I drifted off.
Did you see that for him, this is a complicated... Yeah. This is a complicated...
Complicated. What's going on with Zaire? What's the conflict, Jules?
Very complicated.
The conflict with what?
Ziyech and the national coach. My producer said Jules will definitely know this, so good luck.
Well, by Aljodzic, who, as we know with Frank, because he played in France and managed in France, like a lot of clubs, is very, with a lot of authority, let's put it that way. Very,
right.
Yeah, disciplinarian, I think is a good word to put it. And I think Hakim Ziyech has a different view on things, especially on training, and Vahid doesn't think that he trains hard enough, that he thinks about the team enough, and Ziyech thinks that Vahid is rubbish anyway. So we saw Mazraoui being called back in the national team, and I think for Hakim, he might have to wait a little bit longer that Halilhodžić is gone.
Now, this is something we discussed on the US show. During your career, have you ever called out your team's fans for a lack of support or poor atmosphere after a match? Was Pulisic justified being critical of the US fans last night after the game? Jules and Frank, you weren't in the segment, but I know you were listening to it. What do you make of this, Frank?
Well, I agree with Ali. He should have explained that a little bit more. than only making a comment of 30 seconds. You know, we know that in France, in clubs and with national team, every time we play against Turkey, for example, we play away from home, and we know that. They come, and they come from even from Germany and the Turkish people, and they support their team, and you have to accept that. I don't know, I think it shouldn't be a problem. It's a problem with the football in general. I was listening to Shaka when he said about, you know, how much it costs to the kid to come to play football. I think it's football belongs to the poor people, in a way. Zidane, Messi, Ronaldo come from a poor family, and they, because they were how do you say, they were hungry, they've been successful, and most of us come from the same social level, and that's different in the States, where it seems to be for rich people to being allowed to play soccer. That culture has to change, that system has to change. But I can understand the frustration of Christian Pulisic, but at the end of the day, it's not a subject. It has to be deeply debated than he did just did.
Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what the boy said. It's not the first time we heard, remember Jurgen Klopp, for example, very early on after he arrived at Liverpool, saying, hang on a minute, why are people leaving the stadium so early, or that kind of things. And that was the right thing to say at that time, and it changed. And now the atmosphere at Anfield is as good or maybe even better than it's ever been, even in the greatest teams of the past. So sometimes you need to say those kind of things if you feel like them. There's also a very easy way if you're the US Federation, is like, okay, you can see how many tickets you've sold. I think Ali made that point. Give some free tickets. Give some free tickets to all the soccer schools, to the schools around the area. People, encourage people to go as well. You know, every country, even the big footballing countries in Europe do that. You always have free tickets for the schools around, for children to go who would not go if their parents had to buy three or four tickets or two tickets. And that's a good way of filling the stadium as well. If you can tell that in advance, it's going to be pretty empty.
Frank just mentioned, and in his words, he said that around the world, soccer tends to be for the poor, right? In the current setup, that underprivileged family would not be able to attend one of these games. So to Jules' point, you have tickets laying around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go into the inner city. Make that connection, right? Get those kids to come out and now have a different experience, because that different experience may open something else up for them in their lives. And for you, as a federation, you are now creating a bridge, building a bridge that wasn't there. And it doesn't take much for you to do that. So if you're gonna reach the inner city, you have to make that effort. And if indeed that's where the players are gonna come from, and that's where you want the hungry players to come from, those are the guys that are gonna truly develop, you gotta go get them. Mm. And this is a good way to go out and get those players.
Frank and Jules, does the fact that Madrid won the Champions League soften the loss that PSG suffered?
I go first.
I don't know.
In a way, it's always good. Always good when your team is beaten by the champions in the end. Even if they survive against PSG, they survived against Chelsea, they survive against City, but they won it. They're the best team because they won it. So yeah, of course, it's often the blow when your team, even with hindsight, even like 3 or 4 months later, when that team that beaten you in the circumstances as well ends up winning the whole thing, it's obviously better.
We know Frank's answer to this.
No, I just think that getting an excuse like that is for the weak. For the weak, you know. And
yes.
Why? They lost against Real Madrid because they did everything to lose against Real Madrid, like Chelsea did, like Man City did as well, and even like Liverpool did. But of course, I didn't like the way Real Madrid played, but I have to give them the biggest credit in terms of mentality that they showed. They never gave up, they showed spirit, so they deserve. And they are the best team in Europe because they won the Champions League. That's why they are first in Shaka's power ranking.
I have a question for Frank.
Yep.
Doesn't the model
and mentality and character of Real Madrid go along the lines of what Frank's book is all about.
Yeah, Frank.
So I don't understand the disconnect with Real Madrid when it seems like they would be the subject of your book, the very best example of what you say in your own book.
Well, you know what? It goes more against, in fact, the other three or four clubs that I mentioned, where I think in our time, the character that we showed was harder, tougher than it is right now. It needed only one action for Paris Saint to lose everything. Almost the same for Chelsea. It happened exactly the same. One action and City didn't exist anymore. Is it a current problem where you can feel that not too many people have the resilience in their lives? And football is a reflect of the society.
Wow.
What we saw this year is four clubs being beaten by a club who know how to win, who will never give up. So the credit goes big time, like in my book, for the mentality and the fact that you never give up. But for the others, shame on them. Really, wow. Shame on them.
Jules, have you read said book yet?
I didn't have that pleasure yet. I'm waiting for the proper holidays, you know, in July to really immerse myself in the book, because clearly it's one of the book of the year.
I'm waiting for July.
That's the second time you say stuff like that.
Anybody ever offered that? I'm not reading the book because it's not July
I'm
yet.
I'm going to save it.
Save
it
for the
beach. You just wait till July. You wait till July.
So that I can immerse myself.
Frank is going to bring out another book in July.
Final question. Oh, what is this nonsense? Shaka, is it difficult sometimes knowing your knowledge is superior to everyone else on the panel?
Yeah.
How do you cope?
It's tough having to play down.
Did Shaka send that question?
Yeah, probably. Shaka says it's not on Twitter.
Okay. I'm going to bed. Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
It's tough when you've got to play down, you know? That's all I got.
That's it?
That's all I got.
That's perfect.
That's all you brought?
I
really brought it down. At the start of today's show, we watched the golf yesterday, which was like a special golf that was on here in the States, which had four major quarterbacks.
Correct, yes.
Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Mahomes.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't remember the fourth one.
Yes.
Jude Cup.
No! No, do you want it? Do you need it?
Yeah, for Frank, Frank and Jules, Jude Cup is some made-up name that...
Who is it?
You want it?
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Oh, I knew it was little names. I got the J right as well.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that is it. Hey, Frank.
See what I mean, writer? I've got to play down. Play down.
Frank's here in July.
I know, I know.
Shorts. That's
all
right.
Shorts to restaurants all the time.
Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow.
Shut more. Shaka brought up Eli Cup. MJ Cutler.
Let's go to the break. That's
really
it.
Bye now.
That's noise.
Eli Cup.
Leave me alone.
Would you go and read Frank's book and get some maturity to this?
Immerse yourself in the book.
The countdown to July is on.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.